Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and Bob Christopher and I would cordially invite your phone call right now to 844-322-2742 if you have some issue you're dealing with in life and like to get some guidance into the Word of God to address that particular situation. If you have a Bible question, a great opportunity to call in right now, 844-322-2742. Call now because it is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, you've been talking about this great resource that we are sending out to people this month, When God is for You. It's a look at Romans chapter 8. And so I thought today we would just take a look at the first four verses of Romans chapter 8. And I think it's very timely. It's very relevant. It's very applicable to this pandemic that we're all living in right now. And so many people are going to look at their situation and they're going to judge it and say, God is paying me back for something that I've done in the past, or God is bringing judgment and punishment into my life. Well, that is not the case. No. That's not the case at all, based on what Paul wrote in this letter to the Romans. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Love that.
So we have to ask some questions. What was the condemnation to begin with? Well, the condemnation is death. It always has been death. God said to Adam and Eve at the very beginning, the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Now, they ate, but they didn't die physically. That came a number of years later, hundreds of years later. As a matter of fact, Adam lived to be 930 years old. We don't know how old he was when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but he died spiritually.
Yeah.
So that life that connected him to God was broken, and he's passed on spiritual death. Adam and Eve passed on spiritual death to all of us. So we came into this world under that condemnation, under that judgment. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we have crossed over from death to life. That judgment, that condemnation has been lifted off of us. And now we see this great truth. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So are you in Christ Jesus? Absolutely. Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, it means you've been made alive together with Christ, and the condemnation is no more. Now, for the law of the Spirit, and here's why this has taken place, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So we were under the condemnation of the law of sin and death, but now we've been set free from that by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The law could not make us right in God's sight. The law cannot impart life to us. Mm-hmm. That takes the work of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. So when we receive Christ, what happens? We're made alive.
Yeah.
We cross over from death to life. Now, he did this, God did this, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this is good news.
Yes.
So this is the message that God is sending to us, that he is for us. He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. He did something for us that the law could not do for us. And he did it through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, what was that? He set us free from the law of sin and death,
yeah,
so that we could experience new life in him. And the conclusion, the therefore, is now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who are fully alive in him. And if you're fully alive in him, it means you're no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit.
Yes,
that's
indeed
good news.
That is good news. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why?
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is good news, Bob, and that's how Romans 8, chapter 8 starts. And to me, there's no more confirming and reassuring passage in all of Scripture. Romans 8, and that's where Bob Christopher takes us for a highly encouraging message called When God Is For You. And we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your April gift to support Basic Gospel in this message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus. When God Is For You, request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net or choose any of the other methods of making your April gift to Basic Gospel. Anyway, we want to hear from you, and we want you to partner with us. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Bob, and I do want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have stood by us during this mm-hmm. time. When this first hit, the news cycle started to begin with this coronavirus. Our donations just went to almost nothing there for a couple of weeks. But many of you have rallied, have stood beside us and said, we want to help you. So we say thank you. Now that doesn't mean we're out of quote trouble.
Right, out of the woods.
We haven't gotten out of the woods yet. So we still need your help. So come join us. Be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. The people need this message right now. They need encouragement. They need hope. They need the grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can help deliver that to them by supporting Basic Gospel. Your gift today is going to make a huge impact on this ministry and in the lives of our listeners all around the world.
Without question. Again, friends, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk to Donald, who's listening to us somewhere in the great state of Texas. Hi, Donald.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah. I just got a question. But first, I want to say to him, I know I heard when you said yesterday, somebody called and asked you, was it one of God's judgment? And you said I think you said it wasn't. But I'm gonna hang up I want to say first. But see, I know all the apostles, they had different gifts. Like Paul's friend, Barnabas was a preacher or encouragement. And I really believe God gave you that gift, an encouragement preacher. But you might not be one of them preachers that cut people down with their word and kind of like. When he said, cry out, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet, show my people that transgress. You might not be that one of them, but these time of days, we need some hard teaching. Paul told Timmy, he said, preach the word of God in season and out of season. He said, well, the time is right. He said, correct, rebuke, and then encourage. See, that Timmy right there, Paul was letting Timmy know, hey, don't cut no corner with them. It's time to preach the God. It's time for the gospel to be heard. It's time for people to repent. America needs to repent. Now, God going to reach the high and the low. That means he ain't just finna get the wicked, but he also finna get the hypocrite and even the righteous. I know it made me even got better, but I really believe it. This is a pledge of God. God want America to turn. He want everybody, not some, everybody, to repent, get it right. He's shutting down school, shutting down churches, separating the wheat from the tares.
Well, Donald, let me jump in. Do you have a question on that or?
Yeah, but you said you don't believe it wasn't them, that this is not known as God's judgment. Do you believe it's God's judgment?
No, I don't believe it's God's judgment. I think it's just a part of this fallen world that we live in. We've had things like this that have happened throughout human history. God uses those, as we talked about yesterday, to draw people unto himself. God did not send Jesus into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the message that needs to be going out right now, Donald. And if we're gonna speak truth, then we better speak truth.
I just got you saying why to go. That came straight from the Bible. That's the truth right there.
Yeah,
everything I'll call that. What the truth?
Yeah, God sent Jesus into the world not to judge it, but to save it. So God wants to save people. God wants to give people life. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus said, I came that they might have life. God isn't interested in bringing people to death. He wants to bring them to life. So that's the story. That's the story that we have to get out. I just encourage you, Donald, to raise your voice and get the hope of the gospel to as many people as possible. You've got a lot of people, Donald, I guarantee you, or around you and your neighborhood, maybe where you work, whatever it might be, who are asking questions about their own mortality. They're wondering what's going to happen to them when they die. Why? Because this coronavirus has surfaced those types of questions in their minds and in their hearts. And I hope, Donald, that you have an answer for the hope that lies within you. And if you're going to tell people this is God's judgment on them, then you're not speaking truth. The truth is God did not send Jesus into the world to judge the world. He sent Jesus into the world to save it. And he died to take away sins. He condemned sin in sinful man. There's never been a greater statement against sin than the cross of Jesus Christ. There's not going to be a greater statement against sin than the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus took your sins and my sins upon himself, and he died in our place. He took the consequence of sin. He took the punishment of sin, death, so that when we trust him, that law could be fulfilled in us. His death becomes our death, so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message that Peter, that John, that James, that Paul, that all of those disciples carried out to the world. And that's the message that got them in trouble. That's the one, that in Christ, mm-hmm. new life is available because he, Jesus, died and rose again. Tell that message. Get it out there, Donald. Tell it to as many people as you possibly can. That's the message that contains the power of the gospel and that can save anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who calls upon the name of the Lord.
And you can do that, Donald.
Okay, one more question. One more question. So you saying that all the preachers on TNN and you said they wrong too by telling people that this ain't that one of God's judgment, this a warning. And so if we tell people that this is not a warning from God, people ain't gonna change. People gonna be just like they doing now, disobedient and disrespect, putting God people down and all this stuff. You know, everything you saying, yeah, the disciples did that, but they also preach sound doctrine too. You know,
that's what sound doctrine is: the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
It's a warning.
Well, the gospel itself has the warning. The gospel itself is directed to people who are dead in sin, and it's an offer of life. Now, somebody to receive life has to recognize that I don't have it, that I don't have life. And so if I'm going to get it, I have to receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. So by grace, God is offering that gift of life. He's not offering it to people who are already alive. They've got it. He's offering it to a world that's dead in trespasses and sins. And yes, a lot of people out there in the world are blind to their true spiritual condition. But if you deliver that gospel message will open up their eyes. Why? Because it contains the power. And I would rather deliver the power of the gospel and let the power of the gospel do its thing than spout out, you know, my opinions on what's happening out there in the world. So let's stick with Jesus. Let's stick with the story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and let that be the offer of life to people who are dead in trespasses and sins.
And I would suggest to Donald as well, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we await the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, Donald, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you and certainly to our listeners as well. Well, let's go to Sean, who's listening. Hey, Sean.
Hello, Sean.
Are you there?
Okay, let's go to this call that came in off hours, then we'll come back to Sean.
Jonathan from Kailua Kona, Big Island, Hawaii. Listen to CSN 91.3 FM. My question is Ezekiel 33, 8 and 9, where the Lord says, I warn a wicked man of his sin, but if you do not raise your voice to dissuade him, he will die in his sin, but I will hold you to account for his blood. And then the next one says, but if you warn him and he ignores the warning, he will, like, his own blood is on his head, and you will have saved yourself. I'm curious as to what exactly that means, because I've heard that in two sermons recently concerning evangelizing.
Well, Jonathan, that's a really good question. You know, in times past, and I'm sure there are many people today who say, if you don't go out and evangelize, the blood of those people that you're not speaking to or is on your hands. And boy, that just doesn't give you a whole lot of encouragement to get out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ, because at that point, you're not going to share it out of love for people. You're going to share it out of fear and guilt and shame and those sort of things. Well, that's not what God is interested in.
No.
He wants us to know him, to know his love, to experience his love, and have our conversations with other people be a fruit of that relationship, be a byproduct of that relationship, so we can truly give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Not to say, hey, I've got to tell you this, or your blood's going to be on my hands. And that's just not going to win too many people to Jesus Christ. So what in the world is Ezekiel saying to us in this particular passage? Well, he gives a story about people and an army, and, you know, if they're being attacked, they set a watchman up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the watchman has a job. He's to warn the people inside if somebody's coming to attack. And he says if he does his job, then all the people are going to be saved inside. If he doesn't, then he's just leaving them to be decimated by the oncoming attack. And so in verse 7, after Ezekiel kind of lays this story out, he says that God looks to him and says, so you, son of man, this is Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So God called Ezekiel to be a watchman. To be a voice for the people. And he's saying, hey, if you raise your voice and encourage the people to turn back to the Lord, you've done your job. If you don't raise your voice, if you don't carry out what I'm calling you to do, then you haven't done your job. And that's all he's saying here. This is something specific to the prophet Ezekiel. So let's just leave it there. Let's just leave it there and let him be the watchman that he was called to be during his day. And certainly he carried out that task, and he warned the people of Israel. So he served his duties as a watchman. Now, we as believers in Jesus Christ today, we've been made alive together with Christ. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been made competent to be ministers of life, ministers of this new covenant. Let's just trust the Lord to do what the Lord's going to do in and through each and every one of us. And he's going to put us in situations where we can share the gospel, but let's not bring over something that was meant for Ezekiel and try to guilt people into doing something that the Holy Spirit's going to lead them to do anyway. Can't we trust the Spirit of God in people's lives? Can't we trust the Spirit of God to do in and through us what He wants to do? And I think the answer to that is an overwhelming yes. Yeah. Yes, we can. Yes. Now, we are such judgmental people that we, you know, we look out there and we look at, but you know, how people are behaving, and we point our fingers at them and we say, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And I think what the Word of God is trying to communicate to us is stop it.
Yeah.
Cut it out. There's no need to judge. If you believe the gospel message, then here's the truth. Any believer has been born again, made a new creation in Christ Jesus, which means God's Spirit is alive in that person. Mm-hmm. And God's Spirit is alive in you. So do you trust the Spirit of God in your life to lead you down the paths of righteousness? Oh, yeah, I sure do. Well, can you believe and trust the Spirit of God to do the same thing in someone else's life?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different story. No, I need to help the Spirit.
Right.
and that's why I'm pointing that finger of judgment. That's why I'm doing everything I can to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Well, God has never called you to that. You trust the Lord in your life, and you trust the Lord in someone else's life. And if you can be an encouragement, if you can be a voice to share the hope of the gospel, man, do so.
Yeah, right.
That's what this is. So let's quit judging one another. Let's quit pointing that finger, and let's trust the Spirit of God to do only what the Spirit of God can do in our lives.
Yeah. Bob, very quickly, as we have time here, from Joe, who lives in Red Oak, Texas. He says, here in America, we are blessed to live in freedom. We can pray and see God move and answer prayers. But there are Christians like in North Korea who are in labor camps with little food to eat. Some are in isolation and being tortured day in and day out. They worship the same God, and they have the same promises. Why do they have to suffer?
Well, we're all going to suffer to one degree or another. But I think it's a good question. One of the things that we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we see this great lineup of believers from the Old Testament, and each one was being commended for their faith. Mm-hmm. And he gets down and he says, I can't number every one of them. I can't name every one of them, but here's what I can say is some, by faith experienced great success in this world.
Right.
Others, by faith, experienced some tragedy in life and had to suffer immensely. Now, why? We don't know, but in both, they were commended for their faith. And so we're just going to have to leave it there. We're going to have to rest in the fact that God knows what He's doing, and that His grace, regardless of what a person is going through, is sufficient for them at that moment and in that time. And I guarantee you, a lot of those folks going through suffering are coming out and saying, wow, I know what my Lord went through for me.
Absolutely.
And they have a greater appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Well, that does it for this one, everybody. Thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call over the weekend at 844-322-2742. We always love hearing from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Also, keep in mind that we have this excellent message by Bob Christopher called When God Is For You. It's our way of saying thanks to those of you who support Basic Gospel with your love and with your finances. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and help us get the word out far and wide. And be sure to request your copy of When God Is For You when you make your contribution. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again on Monday for Basic Gospel. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.